How you doing, folks? I'm Jet Tila, the emeritus host of the SoCal Restaurant Show. You're listening to the very best in Food 411 on AM 830 KLAA.
And welcome back. It is hour two of the SoCal Restaurant Show. Thank you for joining us for our Easter Passover show. We do appreciate it. We're here with you every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. until 12 noon right here on AM 830 KLAA, the home of Angels baseball. Hey, opening day is Monday, and Ducks hockey. I'm Andy Harris, the executive producer and co-host of the show. My esteemed associate, Chef Andrew Gruhl, the CEO of the Slapfish Restaurant Group, and also the founder of Two Birds and Butterleaf in Irvine, is on assignment this morning, but we'll catch up with him later in the show talking about lobster. Do keep up with us. We're on social media. We're on all the platforms. Website's easy at SoCalRestaurantShow.com. And if you go to our Facebook feed right now, which is SoCal Restaurant Show, you will see some absolutely mouthwatering pictures of Revere Cattle Company beef. And we're going to be continuing that conversation in a moment. And we're enthusiastically presented to you each and every week by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats. We are talking with a fourth-generation family farmer who now has the fifth generation in the business. That is Tom Revere of the Revere Cattle Company in Olivia, Minnesota, population 2,400, and his colleague, Paul Hillen. Gentlemen, good morning. Welcome back, and thanks for being in studio.
Hi, Andy. Thanks.
Yep, great to be here.
Let's pick the conversation up with Paul, if we can. Paul, we've introduced, I think, our audience to the Revere Cattle Company brand, the fact that it's premium, natural, black Angus beef. Obviously, there's a limit on what Revere can produce at this point. Let us know what market areas of the country it's in. And in terms of growth, how Tom and the Revere family really wants to carefully manage that.
Well, I think that's a good point, Andy. I mean, careful is critical here because we have to make sure that when we do a partnership with our distributors like West Coast Prime Meats, we want to make sure that we can certainly supply them and especially their customers. You know, today we've been very choiceful about the distributors because, as Tom mentioned, we need to make sure that they shared our values, because our mission is we tell the truth. It's all about authenticity, right? Tom's 150-year-old family farm in Olivia, Minnesota since 1867. It's not a made-up logo. There's an actual farm there. And so we wanted partners who would tell the truth. So we have distributor partners in Florida, the Carolinas. We're also in New York, New Jersey, and then a bit in the Midwest, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, and, of course, Minnesota. I mean, we're, you know, the whole local element there, obviously, we do extremely well. And then Northern and Southern California, and here in Southern California with West Coast Prime Meat. So and that's it right for right now, because we have to make sure that everything that Tom does, including sourcing the cattle from the Revere region, the feeding, that we make sure that it's done right. And so this isn't about blanketing the country right now. It's about, you know, making sure we meet the demand that is built one by one with our distributors, and then we'll start to grow from there.
Now, we have a lot of chefs and restaurateurs, gents, that listen to this show. And so, of course, the first question for them is well, you know, what big-time restaurants carry Revere Cattle Company beef? There's one example we can give that I think will prove the point. Chicago is famous for their steakhouses, and it's a wonderful food town. I can't get there enough. But there is a very famous Chicago steakhouse that happens to use Revere Cattle Company beef. Would you mind sharing that with our audience?
Sure. Gibson's Steakhouse in Chicago is a user of our beef. Very proud and supplying them with our beef. And just a wonderful people and one of the greatest steakhouses in the United States, for sure.
Still family-owned, I believe.
It's still family-owned, yeah.
I think that says a lot. Tom, a question I want to ask you is for those of us that really don't know too much about the cattle business, I know there's a big concern, environmental concern, about waste and manure. You touched on it a little bit in the last segment, but I want you to tell us a little bit more about the state-of-the-art manure handling facility you developed and exactly what happens to the manure, because it's really incredible.
Yeah, it is. So One thing, so Minnesota's a really green state. We have a beautiful environment, more than 10,000 lakes, obviously. The Boundary Waters National Park, and so Minnesotans care a lot about their environment. But we're also really rich in feedstuffs. We have great crops from many different kinds of vegetables and potatoes to corn and sugar. Sugar beets, soybeans, and all the rest. So we're rich in feed, but we really do have a climate that is maybe not thought of as a cattle feeding climate. Very rich soils, heavy clay loam soils that, in the springtime when we have the thaw and the winter turns to spring, the cattle would sink out of sight into that heavy, rich soil. So we needed to build facilities that were not only conducive to cattle feeding and provide incredible animal welfare, but we also had to produce or build buildings that would really secure our environment and take care of that. So we went across really unbelievable areas from Europe to Canada, United States, and took technologies and practices that were used, technologies that were out there being used, but not in the way that we wanted to use them. So we took equipment and ways of doing things and put them together in a new, unique fashion that allowed us to collect all of the manure through flushing, recycling or separating the solid fraction of the manure from the liquid fraction, and then using that liquid fraction again to clean the pens. It's really an incredible way of doing things and a new way of doing things.
Kind of a closed system.
It is a completely closed system. So we use the manure to offset manufactured and mined fertilizers for our crop production. We use them for other things. We've done a lot of R&D where we've brought in pilot plants and specifically a DAF machine, a dissolved air filtration machine, where a polymer is injected into the liquid stream and through dissolved air filtration. It's a carbon that attaches to phosphorus and nitrogen, and we've removed up to 95% of the phosphorus, 90% of the nitrogen from our liquid fraction. And a long ways away from beef, but very important to what we're doing and where we want to move. We look at beef production as an incredible way of really creating new found value through the back end of our farm, but also offsetting a lot of cost and energy use on the upfront side. So by using high moisture feeds and soluble fiber rather than corn, and high energy soluble fiber. So the feeds that we use aren't low value feeds. They're very high quality feeds that have a high, the cattle digest them through the the rumen, the first stomach of a cow, uses bacteria to do the digesting, and it uses soluble fiber, which is more along the lines of what God made them capable of eating, which is grass.
Now, you actually brought up a very good point. In the minute and a half that we have left, what is the difference between grass finished and grass fed? Because I hear those terms floating around, and I, for one, am confused.
Yeah, well, I think everybody's confused. So all cattle are on grass, right? They're born out on grass. They're raised with their mothers on grass. And they're on grass for maybe a year or two before we take them in and finish them. And we finish them. We transition them from more of a grass-fed diet to a higher energy-fed diet to put white choice marbling and prime marbling into the beef, which the cattle love. I mean, it's like having a treat, right? But so when we hear of grass-fed beef, most people conjure a thought of cow out on the grass, right? And grass-fed beef is really not that way. I mean, they can be raised on grass, I suppose, but most of the grass-fed beef that consumers see today or restaurateurs are purchasing, they're raised in a feedlot with feeds that are deemed by the USDA to be grass-fed certifiable. So corn silages and lots of things like that. So it's you know, we want to be known as the Prada of beef, and we want to provide the highest quality of beef, and with committed to economic, environmental, and socially responsible operations. But we want to be the most trusted supplier of beef by telling the truth. And I think the consumer and you know, the people buying the beef out there, there's a lot of, you know, I guess smoke and mirrors. And you know, we're not that. We're going to tell the truth and do the best we can.
Tom, as we have to conclude, there's great information about the Revere Cattle Company on your website. What is that website information so our listeners can get more information?
So you can come to our website. It's revercattle.com. It's R-E-V-I-E-R. In Canada, you might pronounce it Revier. And they can also go to West Coast Prime Meats and find us on their website as well and cross-connect that way.
It is rancher Tom Revere, a real cattle rancher in the fifth generation of his family now, and his associate Paul Hillen. Gentlemen, on Easter weekend, I really appreciate you taking the time to come in. I know you both have to skedaddle to get to the airport, so again, we really appreciate the time. You are listening to the SoCal Restaurant Show. When we come back, we're going up to Lodi to talk about a new wine region in California. We are proudly presented to you by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats.